This Hello, is awesome.
everyone. Welcome back to the pod. I am so excited that you decided to tune in for today's episode because today we have an amazing guest with us.
Hi, guys.
Miss Lexi Hidalgo. Please say hello.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited and I can't wait to chat.
Me too. It's funny because I think we realized in the DMs, I asked you like so long ago to come on the podcast.
So long. I think it was probably like 2020. Whenever, maybe when you first started, I don't know, but crazy.
Yeah, and then you messaged back and you're like, hey, I'm coming on the pod.
Yeah, so, it was in my request or like in general. You know how like the DMs just move around? And I saw that and I was like, wow, look at that. The universe did it for us. It put us together and knew this was meant to happen.
100%. It was such a full circle moment. So mm-hmm. We are so grateful to have you on the pod. I guess let's get started just by knowing a little bit about you. Can you tell the community a little bit about yourself and your journey of how, you know, we're here today together?
Cool. Well, I'm Lexi. I've been doing social media now for the past 4 years, and I guess I could call myself an influencer. There's something I just hate about that word,
same.
But I've grown to love it, and I try to view it now as like a beautiful thing because like I'm influencing people, hopefully with good and inspiration and positivity and whatever I really can, whatever that may be. So proud to say it now. I'm an influencer, but I started making TikToks back during COVID, and I was just making coffee in my parents' backyard. I was posting workout videos, and my parents have this cool tiki hut in the backyard, and people were just absolutely loving it. So anytime I posted in the tiki hut, I noticed that my videos were getting traction. So I just kind of kept it up. I kept posting. I was doing college online because it was COVID, and started with workout videos, and then I shifted into making these coffees and doing like a little message while I made my coffee. So I called them the coffee talks. And I guess it was 19-year-old version of me's way to just spread some kind of joy. Like I would be like, you look hot today. Like it was very motivational, aspirational kind of messages that I would put out. And ever since then, I've just kind of been continuing to post things along those lines. But as I grow and as I learn lessons differently, I share them differently. Now I have a podcast, I do TikTok, Instagram, all the things. So it's a very long story of how I got here, but that's kind of how I got physically here.
I love that. That's so cute, making coffees in your parents' backyard.
It was so much fun.
I can relate because I started on TikTok too in COVID at my parents' house.
Mm-hmm. I think that's how most of us got our moment. It's actually wild.
Yeah. No, it is so wild and so like nostalgic to think about. But I'm curious, leading up to that point, like, were you always super positive? Were you always like interested in like this world of, you know, motivational speaking, mm-hmm. I guess you can say positivity, self-development, wellness? Like, what was kind of leading up to that point?
Yeah. So honestly, I think I've always had some kind of passion, some kind of draw towards sharing these messages in any way that I can. I didn't really know how or why, but when I was 13, I went through my first real struggle with mental health. But in seventh grade, you don't really know what depression is. You don't know what anxiety is. You've never felt any kind of, I don't know, at the time, nobody was talking about any of those things, but I was struggling so bad to just go to school. Like I was getting really, really bad. I don't even know if I can look back and call it social anxiety or if it was just anxiety or if I was just facing depression, because I can't, you know, relive it and I would never want to, but I would feel so physically sick before I would get on the bus for school. I would beg my mom to pick me up, and none of it was like, you know, faking sick because I didn't want to go to school. Like I thought deep down that I was dying of some kind of internal illness. I went to acupuncture. I went to the doctor. I got a colonoscopy when I was 13 years old because I felt like I was going to puke every single morning. And I had no idea why. I was dealing with your typical mean schoolgirls. Like, you know, they would do the things where my seat at lunch, they'd rub bananas all over it. It was so sad. Like looking back, I don't know how I got through it, but I did. And clearly, I'm so grateful for it now because it's gotten me here. But because I was feeling all of that, I ended up trying yoga. My mom told me one day, like, we're going to go to yoga. Just come with me. And I was like, no, yoga's for hippie weirdos. Like, that's just not my vibe. And, you know, when you're 13, you have no, I don't know. I didn't have that much understanding of it. But I went to yoga with her. I ended up falling in love with just this one yoga class. Like, something about it completely changed my life and the direction of my mind. I went from seeing so much darkness because other people told me, you know, you're worthless, you're ugly, you're silly. That's what you deal with when you deal with mean girls. But you believe it when you don't have anything else to believe, you know? Mm-hmm. So I go into this yoga class and the teacher's telling us to be hopeful and to be mindful and to be present and that, you know, our life is beautiful and we are worthy. And even though I've grown up with really great parents and friendships and good people in my life, to hear someone else randomly unbiased who knows nothing about my life tell me that I was worthy, I like walked out of that yoga room and I saw so much more color in the world. Mm. And no lie, after that first class at 13, I was like, Mom, I'm going to become a yoga teacher because somebody else needs to hear that. And that's how it all really got moving and grooving. Like, I just kind of realized my passion in this life is to be there for somebody else my age. At the time, it was somebody who was 13, and now I've grown to realize that with my podcast and with my social media, it's to reach girls my age now and, you know, everyone in between, because a lot of it is the same feelings that we go through, whether we're 12 or whether we're 35, forever, honestly. But it's just different ways to share those messages that relate with people of different ages, I think. But yoga is really what pushed me down this path of spreading some kind of good message. And I ended up getting certified and teaching yoga for a few years. I've fallen out of touch with it just because I don't really know. Life got busy, but that was my first time getting into all this.
That's so beautiful. And I love that story. Thank you for sharing. I knew that there had to have been something that was
like the spark.
Yeah, that leads up to it, because I find that in this space, the people who are spreading the most positivity have gone through the most darkness, mm-hmm. too. Sadly, it's because they can feel the dichotomy. So it's almost like
crazy.
I don't want anyone else to go through what I have struggled, mm-hmm. through. And I mean, the same thing with how I started on socials was talking about my disordered eating journey and, you know, my gut issues, bloating, hormonal issues, like all the things that I went through. It's like, No. I would
trust me. You don't want to go through this.
Exactly. I wish I could save anyone heartache, mm-hmm. through what I've gone through. So yeah. I love that you have, like, you know, that perspective to share online too.
I think it also is why people like you and I, or anybody who's interested or passionate about having conversations like this, is so passionate about it, because mm-hmm. we've felt the other side and we've come out on both ends and we've lied somewhere in the middle at certain points in our life. But like, I feel so confident in the things that I preach sometimes, because I'm like, I know I'm not a scientist. I don't have a degree and a PhD in certain things, but I have experience. And so many of us have the same experiences that I feel like sometimes that's what somebody wants to hear, is like somebody going through the same thing, not somebody who's read enough textbooks to know about it.
Yes, that's so true. It's really all about your journey and how you can share what you've learned and mm-hmm. still are learning mm-hmm. along the way, right?
Yeah.
So I guess, how do you keep up this like positive, optimistic attitude and like joy for life every day? Because you're such like a bright energy and light online and in person. And I feel like anyone who's listening who's like, okay, I want to be happier and mm-hmm. just live a more happier life, like, how can they start doing that? What do you actually do every day to keep up that energy?
I think that once in a while, you have to fake it till you make it. Like, don't get me wrong, I have not struggled like I did when I was in middle school since then. I've had a couple, you know, I've fallen off the deep end a few times where I've gone into a dark place, but I haven't felt that kind of struggle in a long time, because I am really confident in faking it till I make it. And I know, and I notice within myself when I'm starting to feel not so good again, when I'm losing touch with the things that I love to do, when I stop going into my journal and writing things down, when I stop wanting to take care of myself, when I start pouring a little bit too much into other people before I'm pouring into myself. Like, it's a feeling, and you kind of just feel yourself slowly rolling down the hill, and it's really up to you to stop yourself from doing that. And you're not going to always do that overnight. Like, I find myself getting halfway down the hill once in a while, and I'm like, oh shit, I could either keep going and keep rolling and I'm going to really regret it, or I can stop right here and just take one step back up. That might not be going to sunrise every day again and working out every day again and taking care of my body and my mind and doing my self-care. You can't do all that overnight. Life gets busy, we get overwhelmed, and sometimes that's all out of our control. But what can be in your control is to just always focus on taking the baby steps. And I think that that is a huge thing that keeps me going every day, is like, I might not be able to do it all right now, but I can do something. And that's all I have to be able to do. Like, I can, you know, put my lotion on at night, and it might not feel like a big deal, but if I do that today, then maybe tomorrow I'll want to, I don't know, put my white strips in. And then maybe the next day I'll want to go for a walk. And the next day I'll want to write a journal entry. And that's how you slowly make your way back up to where you want to be. And it's a given. There's going to be days where you're not going to feel good and life is going to feel heavy. And you just have to remember that it's part of it. You're supposed to feel that way. It's the only way that we keep moving and changing and growing through life. And I think another thing that keeps me so happy all the time and positive is just recognizing that, like, just simply being aware. I can still be feeling a little bit heavy from life, like, life can be a lot, but I can still be hopeful, and I can still know that it's just part of the cycle. It's not the end of the world, you know. That was a really long version of a million things.
I love that. And I love how you mentioned the baby steps, because I always say that too, that it's not the 0 to 100 that makes the biggest difference, because you're gonna go back the other way.
Exactly.
Too.
If you do it all at once, it doesn't have longevity.
Exactly. It doesn't stick. But it's the momentum that builds from doing the little things each day, you know, and you build on top of that. Is there a certain, like, morning routine or, like, ritual that you try to stick to, or even if it's just like, hey, today's been a lot, here's one baby step I'm going to take. Like, is there something specific that you do?
Yeah. Well, I think I'm someone with, like, crazy ADHD. I don't take any medication for it. So I got to say that my days look different almost every single day. And I'm someone who used to put a lot of pressure on, like, a morning routine, a night routine, a day routine. Like, I have to do all of this or my life is a shit show. Like, that's how I used to think. And I think that recently, kind of on accident, ever since I started living with my boyfriend, I let go of all of those thoughts. Because, like, when you first move in with someone, you're restarting your schedule. Right. You're refiguring out a whole lot of things. So I think that somehow, some way, he saved me from that trap of, like, really thinking I needed to do everything every morning. Like, you know, drink your gallon of water, put your lemon in the water, pull out the journal, read 20 pages of your book. Some mornings that just doesn't happen. Sometimes I sleep past my alarm and I just have to get up, but I always make my bed. And I know it's a really silly little thing, but as soon as you get out of your bed in the morning, make it so that you don't get back in it, and just walk to the bathroom, brush your teeth, and start, and see where it goes. And like we were saying, everything's a snowball. Like, once you do one thing that makes you feel good, you're gonna wanna do another thing that makes you feel good. And I've learned that that's just kind of how I go every single day. I start with making my bed, and then I just see what in this moment will make me feel good, because that's what I'm gonna do.
Love that. Beautifully said. And I couldn't agree more. I do find that sometimes even just the wellness culture online can be overwhelming, because you're like, I actually don't have a 100 step morning routine every morning.
And sometimes it's impossible, and it's not for everybody. Some people like a 100 step night routine. Some people like to wake up at 5 a.m. Some people like to sleep in, and I don't think it makes anybody worse or better than anyone. Like, we all have our different strengths and our different weaknesses. And I think that there's no need to make yourself feel bad for not being able to do it all, because it's definitely that within the wellness culture. Like, my reels are like 15 things to do every morning to feel on top of the world. And I'm like, okay, true. I'm going to take one of those and apply it. And that's plenty. That's all I have to do.
Exactly. Instead of comparing yourself to constantly other people online, it's like, okay, how can I take maybe a nugget from this piece of content and apply it to my own life in a way that makes me feel good.
Yeah. And it's easy to get, I honestly notice myself, like, when I am in a little bit of a dark place or I'm going a little bit down that spiral, I get really consumed by social media and I get this weird obsession with, like, seeing what other people are doing to feel good, because I'm like, maybe it'll work for me. And I want to try everybody's exact routine without, like, really recognizing that I am not that person.
Yeah.
I am never going to be that person. I got different DNA. I got a different wiring up here. Like, I might be able to take something that they use and apply it to my life. But, like, the same way, if I were to do your entire routine, probably wouldn't work for me, and vice versa. Like, we all have to find our individual little thing that works. And I think that when we get addicted to seeing what other people are doing and we try to apply it all, it almost does worse for us than better. So just take what works for you, basically.
Totally, totally. And I love that you also come from the point of like big sis energy, big sis advice. And I think I saw, I was doing a little research. You did an episode recently on comparison.
Yes.
So talking about social media and comparison, especially as somebody who's on social media, like how do you deal with comparison? It's inevitable for all of us.
It's hard. And I think that the reason I did an episode on it, this was actually maybe a couple of weeks ago I recorded it, or a week ago. I find myself, when I am going into these dark places, like the first thing I gravitate towards is social media, right, and not necessarily in the good way. Like I go into social media and I make it a dark place where I'm like, oh, this person's doing all that and I'm here. Like I get really in my head that there's other people being so much more quote unquote successful. Mm-hmm. And I focus so much on that it makes me forget like who I am and where I've come from and what I want to share. And I lose myself so much. So once I kind of found myself in that place again a few weeks ago, I was like, I'm doing an episode on this because I know for sure I'm not the only one going through this. A lot of us get consumed by social media. And honestly, half the time it's subconscious. Like totally. I do this without recognizing that I do. And I think the first step to stop comparing yourself is to realize that you are comparing yourself, because for most of us, it's in the back of our mind. And like, we don't think it's changing how we feel or how we act or what we do, but it probably is. It's a world of so much to consume online. Like you can't avoid it from happening. But I've learned to just recognize, like I was put here for a reason. Mm-hmm. Like someone, something, whatever it is you want to believe in, gave me this opportunity to exist as myself. And I should not focus so much on other people's purpose and their passion and why they're here to exist. Like I have my own thing. We all have our own thing. And the little thought of that helps me a lot of the time when I recognize that it's honestly a miracle that each of us are born. I think the stat is like 1 in 4 trillion. And it just makes me feel really happy and really hopeful that even just existing as myself is plenty and I don't have to do more or be more. And thinking about that helps me a lot with comparison.
That's so beautiful. Literally just made me feel like really like good and nice inside.
Yeah, no, I had that thought yesterday. Yeah. Like I was doing my journal, trying to focus a lot on gratitude lately, because it is really crazy how much gratitude can pull us out of a million thousand dark places. But I was writing about it and I was like, holy crap. I don't even know how I got so lucky to exist. And like the fact that my dad had to meet my mom and they had to cross paths and they had to, it's wild.
100%.
And then before that, it goes
all
back and back and back and back. And it's beautiful. Like each of us are a gift to this earth, and living on this earth is a gift. And I know that there are certain times people would say that to me if I was going through something, and I'd be like, dude, this is the last thing I want to hear right now. Like I didn't ask for this. Like I've felt like that too. But if you really just take a second and delete everything else going on around you and take a deep breath and recognize like, hey, I'm supposed to be here. It makes the world a little bit lighter, even if it's just for a second. It helps.
Wow. You guys, you need to like re-listen to that over and over again.
Just go back the 15 second button over and over. Just remember it. It's true. It is so important. Like you are here for a reason.
Yeah.
And that's enough. Yes. It's more than enough.
It reminds me of this TikTok that I saw the other day. Of course, my most like incredible source of information these days is TikTok. But it really struck a chord within me. And he was basically saying how the reason why so many of us feel lost these days is because we're constantly trying to seek our purpose, and we're trying to seek a purpose that is outside of us, external of us.
Mm-hmm.
But he was saying that your first purpose, your primary purpose on this earth, is to experience life as you.
Oh, I love that. Why did I get you? I have literal chills. My hairs are standing up. That's so cool.
And that's why so many of us are lost, because we're constantly seeking, what is my purpose? What is my purpose? Mm-hmm. And when we don't even realize that our purpose literally is to exist as us.
And to be you.
Mm-hmm.
That is such a valuable message. Because again, I keep coming back to social media, and it's crazy how much like I can talk down on it, even though I'm so passionate about sharing on it. But it does make it harder to exist in a world today because of social media. Because mm-hmm. I I think it's really incredible that everybody can share all of their wins and all the incredible things that they're doing. And I think that nobody should ever stop doing that. But I think that each of us need to realize that, like, somebody else's success has nothing to do with your path or your life. And that person might be on chapter 10 of their book and you're on chapter 1, or you just opened it, or you read the first line. Like, we are separate from them, and you can still clap for others and like make your own progress and be comfortable and happy with where you're at.
It's such a good reminder, because it's so true. It's easy. Even myself can compare myself online, like, oh, I'm not as far as this person is, or, you know, and their journey and their work and whatever. But you have to realize that someone else's success does not take away from yours. Someone else's beauty does not take away from yours. Someone else's relationship does not take away from the fact that you're still, like,
yeah,
that you won't find your dream partner right away.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's hard. It is definitely easier said than done to actually apply all of these things that we hear, because we hear them over and over and over again. Don't compare yourself. You're so beautiful. Like, yeah. It's the same way as, like, you're a miracle, you know? We hear it all, and it is so much harder to apply it at times. But I think that one thing my therapist told me that I love, she's like, you're going to have to hear the same sentence or the same quote 50 million times before it actually clicks in your brain. And then, honestly, it might unclick in a few days. But, like, that's why I think it's so important to continue to fill the things that you consume with these messages, with these reminders, because it might not work today. It might not change something in this moment. But if you listen to it again tomorrow, you might be in a slightly different headspace and it might click a little bit more. And I noticed that with myself. I will listen to podcast on podcast on podcast, just trying to pull myself out of some kind of funk. And it just takes, like, listening to the right one on the right day in the right moment. And all of a sudden I feel hopeful again. And it's cool how that can happen.
That's so beautiful. Is there any other tangible practice that you do to help instill these thoughts into your brain? Like affirmations, journaling, like
definitely,
what exactly do you do?
Yes. But again, like, same way I can't have a morning routine, there are things that I do, like maybe five things that I just rotate between. Like, sometimes my way of giving myself time to focus on my mindset is going to yoga a couple times a week. Sometimes it's going for a walk and listening to podcasts that are fueling me with good energy and consuming good. And a lot of times it's journaling. Journaling's probably like my number one thing. I think I focused on back in 2020, COVID time, I started journaling, but I would journal in a really silly way, like, dear diary, I like this boy. And that kind of sparked this flow of journaling about deeper things, like, why do I like this boy, or why don't I like this boy, or why do I feel this way about myself today? And I would just kind of pull it out maybe once a month. And then I ended up moving to Hawaii in 2021, and I moved with a couple of friends, but they were like online friends, so I didn't have as close of a relationship with them as I did my mom and my best friend. And the time change there is like 6 hours. So when I would want to vent to my best friend, one, I couldn't like FaceTime her and really get deep because I was in a house full of other people who could hear me. And I get really, you know, nervous to talk about things when people can hear me. And I didn't want to type out a text, and I didn't want to like wake someone up across the world. So I just started writing in my journal, like really evaluating how I was living in Hawaii, like a dream, and it was a dream come true, but I was still facing all these internal battles. So I started writing about them, and I still go back to those first journal entries, and I reflect on how much I've changed as a person and how much I've learned and what lessons I've actually held onto from those moments that I was writing and what ones I need to pour back into. And then, that being said, journaling just kind of became an outlet for me to write and to feel. And it is where I learned to evaluate what I was facing on the inside, put it on paper, make it tangible, look at it, and then take it and apply what I needed to my life. And it also just became a way for me to feel everything that I was going through, because a lot of times our brains get so overwhelmed by a million thoughts that we can't physically organize them without putting them somewhere, even if we tried to. So writing them, journaling them, even if it was bullet points of like what I was feeling, just gave me such an outlet to release all of the overwhelm, put it on paper, and give myself a blank state. A blank, what's the, a blank?
Blank canvas?
Yeah, to just put the good thoughts back in and let the bad ones stay out. And that is something that helps me so much with not only being present, but taking in all of these messages and remembering them. And even if I whip out the journal and write a couple of sentences, it makes me think about all of these things that I try so hard to apply to my life. So clearly journaling is the one I'm the most passionate about, but I think it's the best thing that we can do.
And I know you have a journal coming out soon. I'm gonna dive deep on that, but there was something you said earlier that I was like, maybe we should touch on it, because I don't know, I get curious about this stuff and I think it's inspiring for people too. Can you share, you were mentioning the internal struggles you were feeling, even though you were in beautiful Hawaii, like everything was perfect on paper, and maybe deep down you're struggling with one, you know, with things. Can you share one of these internal struggles you think you were dealing with there?
Yeah.
And kind of how you came out of it?
So I think that one of my big ones, especially at the time, was I was struggling a lot, not necessarily with my body or my relationship with food, but just like how I viewed myself. I was in a place where I was in a bikini all day, every day, like just living it up on the beach, and it was wonderful. But that being said, we were also always in these groups of people, and I just, it's not that I wasn't loving myself, but I was too focused on other people and like what they looked like and how I don't look like that or how my body's a little bit different, that I just got so obsessed with that instead of pouring into myself, that I struggled a lot with my body image. And I was also, I'm Hispanic, I have a bikini line, she goes a little crazy. Like I was always insecure about that because I had friends who were blonde with super thin hair. And it's it's silly things now. Like I feel so confident in myself now, but at the time, it was a struggle. And I would write about it and I would think about it and I would read articles on how to love yourself more. And it's crazy, those things worked. But like the main thing that helps is, instead of trying to find all these external ways to change the way that you feel internally, is to start, I mean, literally the title of your podcast, it starts within you. That's how you make the changes to your mindset. You start within and you recognize like, hey, going back to what I said earlier, I'm a miracle. Mm-hmm. I'm made this way for a reason. Mm-hmm. I come from so many strands of people who have made me exactly this way. And like, that is a gift in itself. And you have to just start by believing those cliche, silly little things, but it's because they're true. Like, I recognize that my body is made this way and it's not going to change. And if I pour so much into trying to change it, I'm not going to feel like myself anymore. And it just becomes a spiral. But the one way to not spiral is to just recognize that I'm supposed to be this way. And I think once I got past that in Hawaii, I found myself facing like other internal struggles. Like I just never felt like, this is so first world problems, I felt like I wasn't working enough ever. And I think that even not living in Hawaii, that's still a battle so many of us face, because we live in a world where it is so pushed upon us to be busy, 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 go, go, go. So whenever I wasn't working and I was just relaxing, chilling, hanging out, I was like going crazy in my brain because I should be doing something, being more successful, making money, whatever it may be. So I faced that. Honestly, haven't really gotten to the other side of that one. I think that I'm still working on it every day, but those are two of the things that I went through a lot there. And I was also just dealing with, at the time, like stupid boy drama. Like it was the worst. Like I had a crush on this boy. Me and my best friend had a crush on this boy. And it's crazy because like, this is how I know her and I have the most pure friendship. It's my best friend, Meredith. Her and I both had a crush on him. And we were like, okay, well, if he likes one of us, then good for, like, good for you or good for you. Like, that's just how it's gonna go. And it did not, and I mean this so genuinely, it did not put a single strand of tension between us. And I think that in most female friendships, that probably would. Like in the past, if I liked the same guy as another friend, that would be, that's a whole can of worms that you just don't open. But like her and I, it made us like this. Like we are locked in as best friends and still are. And like she's one of my people, you know? But because I was dealing with boy drama, it just made me doubt myself so much, because I wanted validation from this boy or this person to like me. And this applies to way more than just boys' relationships. It also applies to friendships or just in general. Mm-hmm. When we're craving validation from people who aren't going to give it to us, you're not going to feel whole, or you're not going to feel good, simply put.
Wow. This is all so relatable, by the way. Thank you for sharing.
Of course. I mean,
everyone can relate to this. I can relate to this. Everyone listening can relate to this. Like,
especially at our age. Yeah. I mean, boys, our bodies, what we look like, how much we're getting done. It's a huge thought cycle that we just repeat from, I think, our early teen years up until probably forever. I don't know. Maybe it goes away. Maybe it doesn't. I guess we'll find out.
I feel like it gets easier with each year.
Yes, I agree.
You just start to care less to change yourself. Like when you're younger, I remember I was always like, I mean, I grew up with like really big, frizzy, curly hair that was, you know, almost black. And I always wanted blonde, straight hair and blue eyes. And then now you get older and you're like, wait, this is awesome. Like my ancestors look like this.
Exactly.
Like it's a testament to who they chose to procreate with and then the lineage from down there.
And it makes you you.
Exactly.
And it's wonderful. I was the same way. Like when I was in high school, I chopped my hair to my shoulders. It was bleach blonde and I straightened it every single day.
Yeah.
And now I cannot be happier about my hair. And it's just, a lot of it does come with time, I think.
100%. I think as you get older, you just really start to embrace more of who you are and that builds that inner confidence.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to go back really quick because I know journaling is such a passion for you. I mean, you can hear it, how much it's changed your life. I love journaling too. And I'm curious to know more about the journal that you're coming out with. I think it hasn't technically come out yet.
Yeah, it comes out April 23rd.
Okay, great.
It was supposed to be April 16th, but the publishing process is just quite the mission. Like I have been working on this journal for, I think, over 2 years now. I wrote the proposal, I was telling you before, back in December of 2021. And the reason I wanted to make a journal was simply because when I first started journaling and I was trying to shift from Dear Diary to how do I get really deep with myself? How do I figure out what I'm actually feeling down there? And it was through journal prompts. And I had a hard time coming up with them in the beginning. And as I kind of just kept journaling, I would have all these questions and I was like, oh wait, these are just questions I could write about. I could answer them in my writing. And I ended up wanting to make this journal because I knew how much journaling impacted me, similar to the way that I knew how yoga changed my life when I was younger. And I wanted to provide that opportunity for somebody else. Journaling was the same thing. And I've gotten so many comments ever since I first started talking about how I wrote in my notebook. People were like, well, what the heck do you write about? Where do you start? Like, what do I begin with? And I was like, oh, I have a bunch of different things that I could give you to start with, to write with. So the goal of the journal, it's a journal with prompts and affirmations and like a little note at the end of your entry, just a little reminder. And it's full of, I think some of them are nice beginner journaling prompts and some of them are a little bit deeper. And I think it's also up to the writer, you know, like how deep do you want this to be? It can get really deep or we could keep it on the surface, and both are equally beneficial for our mind. And I'm just really excited to give people an opportunity to essentially understand themselves more and be able to reflect more on who they were, who they're becoming, who they are right now. Like there's so much value in knowing who you are. And I think it applies and it helps with all of these things that we're talking about. Like the more you know yourself and are sure in your values and who you want to be and just yourself, the more the world feels light and bright.
That's beautiful. So proud of you. Like that's
Thank
such an
you.
Amazing
it's
project.
Crazy. It's so weird to talk about it because I've talked about it on my page, but I've never talked about it on a podcast. I've also not been on too many, but it's a big goal of mine to do. So I'm really excited to share it.
That's amazing. Is there like a specific part or something that's like your favorite part of the journal?
Honestly, like I wish I could say yes and tell you something specific, but I am one of those people who has 17 different favorite movies. Like, no, the whole thing. And I think depending on the person, there are certain prompts that are going to apply really, really, really well and heavily to certain people and other prompts that are going to apply to other people. So I think all around, it's just a really good starting point if you don't journal, or even if you do and you just want to have more questions to answer and you don't want to come up with them, it's a great place. And there's no pressure to it. You know, I got the 5-minute journal at one point and I loved it. I used it all the time, but I made it something that I applied pressure to. Like I was like, if I don't do this every morning, the world's gonna end. And I ended up not doing it because I put that pressure on it. So with this journal, like you don't have to do it every day. Just do it when you want. Whenever you're like, you know what? I wanna write. Pull it out, open to a random page, read your little affirmation, write your little prompt, and hopefully it makes your day better in some way.
Beautiful. Beautiful. We'll have the details for that in the show notes because, yeah. I mean, I need to order it. It sounds amazing. No,
don't worry. I got you. I haven't even seen, what's crazy is it's March 21st today.
Yeah.
I haven't even seen the final copy.
No
like
way.
The publishing process is mind blowing. And I'm just learning so much about it now. Like people who write a book, they write this book for years and then wow. It doesn't get published for years. So you got to be really confident in what you're writing and like feeling like it's still going to apply.
Stay. Yeah.
It's crazy. Like it made me realize that if I ever do write a book, it's going to be a mission because I'm someone who likes to do things quick. Like I
yeah.
like to.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not so patient and mm-hmm. it's something I'm working on, but I'm like 4 years. That's wild. Like people who are starting book proposals now probably won't have their book come out until at least 2027 or something if they do it all the right way or like the wow. the way that it usually goes. Wow. And I'm like, that's crazy. These publishers, they live like years ahead. Like it was 2022 when I had my first meeting for the journal, like official meeting. And she's like, yeah, so 2024. And I'm like, girl, that's light years away. Like that is nowhere near where we're at. And all of a sudden, here we are.
Wow.
Time flies, I guess, when wow. you're having fun.
That's a crazy journey. I can't even imagine. I'm like the type of person who can't even book a flight like more mm-hmm. than a few weeks in advance. I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to be feeling next month.
No, I'm like the day before kind yeah. of person. Like I just, yeah. it's amazing. It really gives me a different kind of respect for authors and people who are in that publishing community because it takes a certain skill set.
Totally, totally. I feel like we're both flowy mm-hmm. people. I'm like very intuitive. I'm like, I need to see how I'm feeling this day,
yeah.
that kind of vibe.
And I think social media too, though, is very a huge factor in why we're like that because like every day things
yes.
are changing. Like we are not living in the future because we have no idea, you know, what the algorithm is going to mm-hmm. be like then or what we're going to be sharing at that point. Like it is just day by day.
True.
So I think that's why we're so like quick
and just flowy.
Exactly.
Okay.
Let's
talk a little bit more about social media. Cause so many people I asked on my story, mm-hmm. like what should I ask Lexi? A lot of people are really interested in your journey of like
okay.
growing on social media and just becoming like the social media presence that you are today. What would you say contributed to that?
I think this is something that people hear all the time, but it was consistency. Like mm. I started making videos for fun. I was always the person in high school too, though, that wanted to take pictures and make
yeah.
videos. Like, but this is pre TikTok. This is back when, what was it? Like VideoStar, Vine, like all of these like little things
yeah.
pre TikTok. I always wanted to be a part of like when I was younger in high school, I was like, I want to have 10,000 Instagram followers because I wanted it to show the 10. And it's crazy how my mindset has changed around social media now. Like when I first was in high school going into college, like I wanted followers and like mm-hmm. not at all what I want now. Like now my goal is just like reach and friendship and community. But back then, I guess that's just my way of saying I've always wanted to find a way to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've always wanted to do social media, but I didn't know I wanted to do social media. Like
right.
I didn't know this would ever be a career for me. But then I was at FSU, which if you guys don't know, it's a huge party school in Florida. Like I'm talking, I was going out all the time, but I was also working like 5 different jobs. And I was also just somebody who could never say no to anything. So I was saying yes to every work opportunity. I was paying my own rent. I was doing all that jazz. And I was also literally drinking almost every single night. And alcohol doesn't do so well for me. Like I go into these really dark places mentally.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at FSU for about a year. I was actually at TCC, the community college right next to it. I like to emphasize that because they're the same thing. Like community college is the same thing. You're good. Cause I used to get so trolled for that. Like so many people
would
be like, you don't actually go to FSU. I'm like, okay, yeah, you're right. But I'm still getting an education. Anyways, that's a side note. I was kind of fed up with that after a year because I was so burnt out. Like I was going to bed 3 a.m., waking up for work at 5 a.m. And this was constant. And I was also trying to keep up with my school and it was all really hard. So I end up, thankfully, COVID hit and I end up having to move home with my parents. And I realized after being home for a week and a half that I was not going back to FSU.
Mm.
It was not something I could handle. And while I was doing online school, I transferred to FAU, which is a school right next to my parents' house. And I was doing online school then, making videos. That's when TikTok, I really started kind of pouring into it because I was having fun every day. And like COVID for me was kind of a vibe. like my family just hung out and it was actually some really, really valuable bonding time for us. But the weather was also great that time of year when it's kind of a fever dream. Like to look back, I can't actually remember what it felt like, but I look back and I'm like, oh, I think it was fun. So aside the point, I was just making videos. I was doing workouts in their backyard because, you know, I couldn't go to the beach. I couldn't do workout classes. I couldn't go to the gym. Like we had to work out at home if we were going to be working out. And like I was making up these ab routines. I was doing do this instead of running a mile. Like, I don't even know. But workout videos are really where it began. And I think that at that point, I started gaining traction like really quickly. Like I think I went from 10,000 followers on TikTok to like 500K within a couple of weeks. And my content has shifted. And I think anybody who's followed me, or if you guys don't follow me, my content has shifted a whole lot in the past 4 years. But my goal with it and my message behind it has always been the same, like to share something valuable, something inspirational in whatever way it may be. And also I've just always loved documenting my life and all that jazz. So started with workout videos, and then I did coffee talks, which is where I just would make coffee and my parents. These people ate these up during COVID time, and I don't know why, but like I would post a coffee talk making a coffee, and honestly, I don't know how I did it. This is when TikToks could only be 60 seconds, and I would get a message across, like something pretty decent too. Like it would be consistent, and I would get to the point while making my coffee, filling it perfectly to the brim, putting my straw in it, giving it a swirl, and taking a sip. Like, I honestly don't know how I did all that in 60 seconds and didn't make a mess and was able to get my point across. I don't think I could do that now. And now my videos are like probably 3 minutes every TikTok. But then I shifted to that. And then I had a huge turning point in my social media when I first moved to Hawaii because my page just gained a lot of traction. Like, I moved there with a couple of friends and like we just were going for fun. We were supposed to go there for a month and we were there for 10 days. After 10 days, I signed a year-long lease to live there. And my parents were like, girl, you're insane, but we can't stop you. We can't say no. It's your money. You're working and you're having fun. Like, go for it. But at the same time, they knew. They were like, I don't think this is, you know, the greatest idea. But that's when social media was doing really great for me too. I ended up living in Hawaii for a year. Came home for a few months, I went back out there, and then I came back home 2 years ago now. I officially moved home. And I don't even know what my content looks like these days. It's all over the place, but it's all great things and fun things and a lot of lifestyle stuff. But my main thing is my podcast. But the point I'm trying to get across here in a very long way is that the only way to grow on social media, if you have the desire to do so, is to be consistent and to let go of what you think people may think. Because I remember when I first started making TikTok, I'm lucky that it was during COVID and like I didn't have to go to school and like face to face people, but I knew people were talking crap about my videos. They were like, she's trying to be famous on TikTok. And like I was doing cringy stuff. Like I was doing dances, and I look back on my videos and I'm like, girl, I don't know what you were thinking, but it got me here and I'm really proud of it now. But people are always going to have something to say, whether you've actually made it or you haven't. Like, somebody is always going to be bothered by people chasing their dreams or taking a risk or being happy. And once you kind of get through that through your head, like, I just really encourage people to take the step and do the thing and start posting videos of something that you love, whatever it may be. There's room for everybody. And I think that a lot of people say it's oversaturated now and there's so many people on social media. Like, yeah, there's a lot of people, but there really is room for everybody. Everybody's going to relate to a different person or want to learn how to do something from somebody. Like we were saying, TikTok is such a source now of information. Like, when I need to search something, I don't go on Google. Google it. I'm like, how to change a tire on TikTok. And there's like a 10-step little routine video right there. And that's because somebody took the time and just created something that they love. And I think social media is a beautiful thing. And I really do encourage everybody to share on it, because why not?
Yeah. I love hearing about your journey, by the way. So fascinating to me. And you're so young. So to see you like really grow and evolve into this person today is beautiful.
And it's weird because one thing I also find so cool about, how long have you been doing social media?
Like almost 4 years.
Okay. So you're how old again?
26.
Okay. So we're basically the same age, a couple years, whatever. But we've grown up so much with this online community, and I think it is so freaking cool.
It is cool.
Wow.
It's like, you know, the same thing for me looking back at videos I posted 3-4 years ago. I'm like,
girl.
Who is that girl? But I also think there's a level of authenticity that came with it too, because there was not as much pressure at the same time.
Oh, definitely.
And then people ate that up because it was like, that's very authentic. And I feel like that's something that I get from you and your energy online. It just always feels really true to you and like really authentic, like things you genuinely love. Like if you're going in the ocean, it's like, I can tell, I'm like, she is loving this. She's not posting it to have like some cool video, right?
Exactly. I find it really important. And I think that since I started this so long ago, when I was so young, I mean, I guess I was 19. I wasn't so young, but I started so long ago that I just was doing what I love, and I've always made it a priority for me. I will never do things that don't align with me. I will never fall into groups or places or get into things that I don't genuinely feel I fit in or would be a part of. Like, I remember back when I was first blowing up is when there was like the hype house and all this stuff. And I was like, that's super cool and awesome and fun. But I don't think that that's where I should go if I'm going to be staying true to myself. And I've also just really recognized that I never want to base my content. Wait, I always mix up the way that I say this. I never want to base my life around my content. I want to base my content around my life because I think that it's really easy to get caught up in the online world. And
so right.
I'm sure that with where I'm at in my career, there's a lot of things I could do to grow faster or people I could hang out with to evolve quicker and gain more followers. But that's never been what it's about for me. So my number one goal is to live in a life that is true to me. That way the messages that I share are the most true and authentic that they can be, because I couldn't be somebody living this fake life trying to spread real messages, because the two don't align. And you can really feel that from somebody. Even if I'm recording a podcast episode and I'm like not in a good headspace and I'm trying to be super positive, like you can tell. Like it's 100%. Very 100%. And that's why when I am recording and I am in those headspaces, I'm not just gonna skip the week and not record. I'm gonna be real and I'm gonna be honest, because yes, I think there's a lot more of that on the internet now, but it is still far and few between that you can find people who really make that a priority. But there's some really cool people out there that I think do that, and it's wonderful.
Wow. You're seriously such a beautiful light in all ways.
Thank you.
Really, it's like so amazing having you on the podcast and for the community to just feel your energy, because it's so freaking true. It's like you have to base your content around your life, not your life or whatever this. And now
see,
I understand.
No,
why
I'm
you
telling
get
it, you, it gets up. It gets all messed
whatever
up.
Whatever Lexi there. Said, stick with that one, because it's so true. And I found that for myself too. Whenever I am like, oh, maybe I should do this because it'll look good for that. It's like, it doesn't come across in the same energy.
And you'll feel it too. You will have less motivation, less desire to create if you're not creating what you love. And there's like pros and cons to that, because I notice with myself, I feel like now I've mentioned it probably 20 million times. Like I'm always shifting my focuses. I'm always changing my routines up. I blame it on the ADHD, and I think it's a wonderful thing, but it's also annoying because my content will shift a lot because my passions will change a lot. And sometimes it's harder to grow super consistently when you're shifting things around. But again, that's okay. Like it's not about the numbers and how many people. It's if you're reaching one person and you're sharing something you love with them, that's more than enough. And I think that it's easy to forget that because our little world, you know, and our little likes and our little hearts and our little comments, like it's very easy to forget that everybody who is leaving those hearts or comments, like those are real people that you're impacting, and that's enough. And if one person doesn't like the new content that you've shifted to, that's okay. There's somebody else out there that they're going to get what they need from, and you're going to now reach someone new with this style of creating or whatever it may be. And I think this applies to more than just social media. This can also apply to our friendships, our places that we live, like what our passions are, what our career is. If it's not social media, like it's okay for things to shift around, and it's okay to lose people and change, and it's all going to happen. And it's part 100%. Of it. It's supposed to. If we put all this pressure to stay the same on ourselves, it's no way to live, you know?
100%. And as we grow and evolve, the things around us will also start to shift too, right?
Yeah.
Even if you're not a content creator, I mean, I know for myself, my content has shifted a lot, but your friendships can shift, mm-hmm. your relationships, you know, things in your life, like even me moving, maybe my physical location has to shift. Yeah. And I think that's all a beautiful part of life.
It is. And it's honestly, it's an exciting thing to think about. And you got to choose to view it as that. Like, I remember yeah. for a while when I noticed just myself changing, whether it's physically, mentally, emotionally, my content, my career, whatever it may be, whenever I used to change, it would scare me and I wouldn't want to change because I was so comfortable with where I was at. I was like, no, this is good. Like, I really like where I'm at. I like all my friends. I like all of this going yeah, on. But then you finally, I think especially the first time you start to change, like when I shifted from college party girl mm-hmm. into now, like I don't love alcohol and I don't have the same mindset towards drinking and partying. Like I was once the girl who was pouring shots down everybody's throat and like I was the life of the party. I got the drinking games going and don't get me wrong, it was so much fun. But now, like, alcohol does not react well with me. It does not make me feel good. I get anxiety, like, insane amounts. I go into a dark hole. I can't do anything. So now I've shifted into more of, like, the grandma lifestyle. Yeah. I like to go to bed early, and I don't really like to go out if everybody around me is going to be drinking. And for a while, that just scared me because I'm like, what if I lose all my friends? What if people don't like me anymore because I don't want to be the life of the party and I don't want to make everybody get drunk? Like, I don't want to do that anymore. And I finally have gotten to a point where I've recognized, like, if there are people who don't want to keep me around because I don't want to do that anymore, it says everything I need to know about that friendship or about that person. Like, the right people are always going to stick around no matter what shifts you make in your life. And I think that that's a really important reminder, especially since we're both, and I'm sure all your listeners too, are at a similar age where early 20s, pre-20s, later 20s too, like, a lot of changes happen and you're going to lose people and it's not the end of the world. There's always a reason, always a bigger reason.
100%. I couldn't agree with that more. And I feel like you're also a true testament to this, what you're saying, because you're now in a beautiful, healthy relationship.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, it's your guys' 1 year anniversary today.
Today, yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
But I feel like if you didn't shift right into this current version of you, maybe this relationship wouldn't have been, you know, maybe you wouldn't have attracted that
100%
that relationship, right?
It's wild because Gabe's my boyfriend. I've known him for actually 6 years. Like it's wild how many different phases of life we've gone through together, but not together. He went to FSU when I was there. And that was like the first year we really like bonded and we had mutual friends. Like he went to my rivalry high school, but like we would all go to the same parties. And so my best friend Jake is also his best friend. Jake and I have been attached, like our moms were best friends. So we came out of the womb forced to be friends. And like when we were younger, we hated each other, but now like we're so close. And since, you know, Jake was like that middleman between us, Gabe would always tell Jake, like, you got to put me on with Lexi, like, give her my Snapchat. Like, this wasn't like my senior year of high school. He was a freshman in college. And my best friend, Lisette, she's like my soul sister. She has always loved Gabe. And from the beginning was like, you and Gabe would be like so good together. I'm talking 6 years ago, she said this and always cheered him on. And I'm like, girl, no. But Gabe took a Snapchat on Lisette's phone. I'll never forget it. This was in 2018. And now it's what? 2024. It's insane. And was like, Lexi, I'm going to kiss you one day. You're going to reject me, but it's going to happen. I'm going to kiss you one day. And fast forward, we've been dating for a year and I'm definitely going to marry this guy. Crazy. But that was in college. And we kissed a couple of times my freshman year of college. Nothing ever more. Like, it was drunk at the bar. We made out, you know.
Yeah.
That whole thing. And we ended up kind of not really talking too much. Like, he would always ask me on dates. He would come to my apartment. Like, if he ever blacked out at night and like had a wild night out, he would come to my apartment and sleep on our couch. Like, he was just drawn to me and my, like, me and my roommate's apartment, which is crazy. Like, looking back, this is so meant to be. But at the time, it was also college. Like, he was super frat boy. I was super just like, I'm single. I'm da 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 da. And it's crazy for me because I have always been that person who was like, I don't need a man. I don't want to be in a relationship. Yeah. Like, I am so happy by myself. And I was. And I truly think that to find the person that you're meant to be with, you have to be at that point. Like, you have to be secure in your alone time. You have to love yourself enough, like a certain amount, and you have to just know yourself. And that's when you'll gravitate the right people towards you. Otherwise, you try to change for people and you try to become somebody for someone and you end up losing yourself. And that's why I think that things get messy and unhealthy and relationships can fall apart sometimes. But anyways, I'm getting ahead of myself. We ended up both graduating from college. I ended up moving home. That whole time we didn't really chat. We actually worked at a surf camp together, but we just didn't really hang out with each other too much. Like, we still would go to the same parties, but for some reason we had this weird like beef towards each other. And I think it's because he always liked me and I never really gave him anything back. And then since he stopped pouring into me, I was like, this guy.
Yep.
So we went through that phase of like just having beef. So I call it like the friends to lovers to enemies to lovers trope. Like, I don't even know what you would call it.
Huh.
Anyways, we both graduate, we both move home, and randomly, this was last year, I started going to Sunrise every morning. I would go jump in the ocean, and I always posted it on my Snapchat. And like, we still had each other on each other's private stories, and he would always swipe up and be like, I want to come with you to Sunrise one day, because I guess we got over our beef just naturally. And I was like, yeah, for sure. Meanwhile, I don't go on dates with people. I never even would ever think to say yes to a first date because of how anxious I would get. But Lisette, when I told her this, she's like, just let him come with us. Like, we can all go together. And I was like, okay, yeah, whatever. I still said no. I was like, we'll figure it out one day maybe. And then I end up running into him out one night. And it was weird because neither of us ever really go out anymore, even at this point. And we both happened to be out. I was with the girls. He was with his guys. And like, the whole night we were out, it was just him and I catching up. And I didn't think anything of it. I was like, okay, cool. My friend, like, we're just talking about life and where we're at. And he became a personal trainer and he was home and he was just doing great. And I was doing great. And that was that. And then at the time, I actually had a crush on a different guy. And this guy that I had a crush on ended up getting back with his ex-girlfriend. Meanwhile, me and this guy like only texted once in a while. Like, there was nothing ever there, but I had a crush on him. So when he got back with his ex, I was like, you know what, Lisette, we're going to go to Sunrise with Gabe. So like, on accident, I was just like, okay, yeah. So we all went to Sunrise. That same day, we go and we have coffee at my house. And then since he's a personal trainer, he said, you and Lisette should come work out at the gym tonight. So we did. We had so much fun. Like, we did legs and just had a good time. And I was like, we need to do this every Wednesday. And we're going to call it Wacky Wednesday. So for 4 Wednesdays in a row, we went to Sunrise, we drank coffee, and we went and worked out. And I didn't think anything of it. I was like, oh, cool. Gabe and I can finally just be friends without all of this like weirdness that gets between us.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I go on a trip for a couple days to Cabo, and he texts me and he's like, hey, you want to go mini golfing with me? And like, my heart sunk, but I was like so high on life when I was on this vacation that I was like, yeah, sure. Like, I said yes to a first date. And if anybody knows me, that's a big no for me. And I said yes, and I end up realizing I can't back out of it because now we have this friendship, this thing that we do. And like, I love hanging out, the three of us. Like, thank God for Lisette. There would be no me and Gabe if it weren't for Lisette. But
wow. I
end up going mini golfing with him. And I'm not even gonna lie, the rest was history. Like, the rest just fell so naturally into place. Aww. And we went on like 4 dates, but we still hung out all the time. Like, he worked down the street from my house, so he would come over after work. And like, we just like picked up right where we left off. Like, we've liked each other for 6 years and we just never made it into something. And I think that the timing of it was all so key. And I think it's also, so going back to what we were saying, like, you have to be at a certain point in your relationship with yourself, and same with the person that it is that you're going to be with. You guys have to be at certain points to healthily be together and grow together. Otherwise, you know, you can grow in different directions, or you can fight so much because you don't agree with each other, or you've changed for this person, and then you're arguing with them because you've lost yourself and you resent them because you blame them. Like, there's so many things that can happen if you're not at a point where you are so sure of yourself. And I think that from the beginning, that's something that Gabe and I have both instilled in our relationship, is that we always have to come first individually, but that doesn't mean we can't grow together and be this like powerful duo that takes over the world together. But we can't pour everything into each other. We first have to pour into ourselves. And yeah, he asked me to be his girlfriend after a month of dating, and I was like, no. Like, we hadn't even gotten serious. Like, we hadn't even done anything serious. And I have always had this really deep fear of intimacy. And I think it's part of the reason I've held myself back from so many potential relationships. But again, the timing is key. And with the right person, it all makes sense and flows. So I trust that whole process. But I was like, I can't be your girlfriend. No way. But he read me this beautiful letter. And he like read it to me. He didn't give it to me. And I was like, okay, yes. And we started dating, and then now it's been a year today since he like read me this letter and asked me to be his girlfriend, and I was shitting myself saying yes. I was like, I can't. I call my mom after, and I'm like, Mom, I have a boyfriend. And in my head, I'm like, when is it going to end? Like, when do I get to be single again? It was this weird, but all just because of my anxiety and my fear. He was perfect, and he has been perfect every single step of the way. But it was me fighting myself, and once I finally just like let it go, and I opened my heart, and I was like, wait. This is a beautiful thing. It's all fallen into place so crazily.
Wow, seeing you like share this story is just epic.
It's hard to tell the story because I think that every time I tell it, it's all the same story, but there's so many like different parts I remember at certain times when I tell it that it gets all over the place. But
no, that was beautiful.
Good, I'm glad I got the point across.
I love it. I was like literally picturing myself like with you guys on these sunset, like the sunrise mornings, like, oh, that's so cute. So it's really nice to hear like the progression of a relationship and how much timing really does come into play, and how much you doing the inner work of like working on yourself and getting confident and secure in who you are so that the right partner can come into your life. Because he seems like an amazing guy from what I've seen on socials. It treats you like a freaking queen. He does.
And that is so important to remember too, because I used to go for the guys who were the bad guys, you know, the guys that liked other girls, the players, the F boys, whatever it is that you want to call them. Like, I just was like, okay, that's normal. Like, that's just how guys are, you know, that's what they do. They're supposed to be all like that. Yeah. Like, that's just what we've been trained. And I honestly, before I was with Gabe, I didn't really watch any couple stuff on social media. Like, I had no expectations of what a relationship was really going to be like. I dated one guy for like a month during college. That was never real. Like, we said I loved you, but I didn't know what love was until this relationship. But him and I just like grew so much together. It's crazy.
I feel like that's such a testament of a good relationship.
Yeah. And I don't know where I was going with that. I totally lost my train of thought, but yeah.
I love it.
He's the best.
So happy to hear that, and we'll wrap up shortly. Oh,
wait, I remember where my train of thought was. I'm so sorry. We were talking about how like we gravitate towards the bad guys because that's what social media makes us think. So like going into this relationship, I didn't know that there was going to be somebody who actually listened to me or wanted to be there for me when I was struggling and when I was like in a dark place and when I get quiet and I try to isolate myself. Like, he didn't let me do that in the most healthy way. He was like, hey, I know you need your space, and I'm going to give it to you, but I also want you to know that you can talk to me and I'm going to be here for you. And he's such a great listener. And like anybody who's listening to this podcast, I just want people to understand that there are good eggs out there. There are people, and this goes both ways. I also had to evaluate who I was in a relationship from the beginning. And like, we both had to understand that we're both going to grow. We're both going to make mistakes, but one mistake isn't going to ruin all of this beauty and potential that our relationship has. And like, we learn from our mistakes and we take them and we apply them. And if Gabe does something that upsets me, I'm open about it. And I tell him right away, like, hey, this made me feel like this. And he's like, okay, heard. I got it. Let's change it and move forward. And same way with him. And I think that that's so important to remember too, because we all have grown up in a society where like, we don't know how we're supposed to act in a relationship because of what we've seen, what we've heard, what's on TV. Like, we never know what to expect. And every relationship is so individual that there can be certain things that people do in some relationships that work really well for them. And then in yours, it might not at all. It's the same way everything applies in life. But you have to be willing to grow together and to have those conversations. And if you're with somebody who has no desire to do that, just take a step back. Evaluate it and recognize what you deserve. Like, the least you deserve is somebody who wants to be a better person for you. And you deserve to do that for somebody else as well.
Beautiful.
I think that's where my thought train was going.
That was beautiful. You said it so well. And I think it's so important for people to hear about healthy relationships and to realize that you should never settle. Like, this is what you deserve. Yeah. And if you're not getting that, then there's going to be somebody out there mm-hmm. who wants to, is more than happy
yeah.
to give that to you.
100%. And I really do believe that it all happens when you least expect it. And when you're not looking for it, yep. it's all the cliche sayings,
but it's
telling
true.
You from personal experience, they are true. Like, this is the last place I would have thought I'd be, like, at this stage in my relationship. Like, I never would have thought. I thought I was going to be single my whole life. My parents were worried I would be single my whole life because I was ready to.
Yeah.
I was just happy and good on my own. But
amazing.
God had different plans, and now I just could not be any happier.
So happy for you.
Thank
this
you.
This is amazing. So I love how much our podcast episode today has been, like, big sis energy. You've given mm-hmm. such good advice, such good, like, tools and tangible tips just from your own life. So I guess to wrap up this episode, if there was one piece of advice you could give to your younger self or to mm-hmm. someone listening right now who's in their, you know, in their 20s, maybe they're feeling lost, maybe they're just not at the place that they want to be at, what piece of advice would you give them?
There's so many. I always do so bad with these on the spot, like, you know, pop questions,
because
everything floods my mind at once and I'm like, okay, I got nothing.
First thing. Doesn't have to be the most important one or the best one.
But I think that my first thing is to just keep going.
Mm.
In a very simple way, just keep pushing and keep going and understanding that wherever it is that you're at is part of the journey and you're supposed to be there. And again, so many of the things I say I feel like are so cliche, but it's because they're true and it's real. And I think that whoever's listening, you need to understand that you are exactly where you're supposed to be. You are exactly who you're supposed to be. You are supposed to go through this moment to get to the next one. And it's all planned out and it's all figured out. Just take a deep breath, be here, stop thinking about the future, stop thinking about the past. If you're here, there's honestly nothing else you can worry about. Just be so present and so confident that you're right where you are and take that with you in every moment of your life.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Love to close out the episode that way. So thank you so much, Lexi, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so
honored. That was so fun.
So fun. I know the community is going to get so much out of this. So I just want to ask you, where can we find you and stay in touch?
Yeah. So you guys can find me on TikTok. You can find me on Instagram. My username is Lex Hidalgo. We could put it in the description
because
it's a hard one to spell sometimes. My journal's coming out in April.
Yep.
So you can check that out. And who knows? I don't know where I'll be or what I'll be doing, but you can always find me on TikTok and Instagram. And I do update a lot on there.
And the podcast.
Oh, and the podcast. Oh my gosh, I got so caught up that, yeah, I have a podcast called The Moments Podcast. That's my truest baby. I love her over there. So come join. Come tune in.
Love that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.